Regina Caeli, Queen of Heaven, rejoice, for the Son you merited to bear has risen. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope you had a chance to study the image that was on the screen as Caroline sang that beautiful ancient Easter hymn to Mary. I first saw it last winter while I was on a silent retreat at the Holy Cross Monastery. This was months before the coronavirus encircled the globe and put entire nations on lockdown. Yet then, as now, I see the image more than just a Madonna and child. I see the mother of all creation holding us, her delicate, vulnerable, and thoroughly amazing children. In her eyes, I see love, compassion, infinite concern and deep sorrow. Sorrow because she knows our strengths and our weaknesses, our faith and the temptations that lead us astray. She knows what lies ahead. The intimate moment captured in the image cannot last forever. Her children must go and grow and be in the world. And so there is a twinge of pain. As old Simeon told young Mary in Luke's gospel, a sword will pierce your own soul too. The child she holds, the humanity she caresses, knows nothing of what lies ahead. The child only knows this precious moment of safety and comfort. But there is concern on his face. Just as a mother can sense the moods of her child, so too can the child sense the moods of the mother. As I said, I see in this image divine love holding us, sorrowing with us right now as we struggle to find our way through this time of pandemic, when so many of us yearn for comfort and peace. When will life get back to normal, we ask, then wonder whether the old life, the old normal, will ever return. What new thing awaits? Our mother speaks the reassuring words her most blessed child spoke on a night of turmoil and distress. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Lord knows that is easier said than done, especially these days. We are the ones wary of microbes that might be floating on the air. We are the ones waiting for the rising number of infections to fall, thus signaling a nearing end to this time of quarantine. We are the ones walking the supermarket aisles thinking, maybe I'll get lucky. They'll have toilet paper, flour, chicken, and frozen peas, just like in the old days. We are the ones who have lost jobs and financial security. Do not let your hearts be troubled. In today's gospel, Jesus speaks these words on the last night of his physical life. He was troubled in spirit, agitated. He had just performed a supreme act of humility by washing the feet of 12 disciples. He has told them that one of them will betray him. Already, Satan has taken hold of Judas and sent him on his fateful errand. Peter's bold declaration of undying loyalty has been countered with a heartbreaking prophecy. Before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. Distress and uncertainty are all around. Where is this night headed? Then he offers these consoling words. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. It is as if Jesus is tossing the disciples a lifeline to keep them from drowning in despair and confusion. He is insistent. It is imperative that they heed his words. Even though he is troubled in spirit as life begins to fall away from him, even though he is hemmed in from all sides by betrayal, denial, false accusation, and hatred, he strengthens his disciples with these words. They are said twice in this chapter of John's Gospel, sounding like a refrain for that time and for ours. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Again, we might ask, but how, Lord? These are troubling, fearful times. Show us the way to the peace which the world cannot give. And Jesus responds with words that have given countless souls the strength to press on through the toughest times. I am the way and the truth and the life. These are not words of triumphal Christianity that belittles and negates other religions. These are the words of the Good Shepherd, the words of the divine light that eternally shines in places where without it, all hope would be lost and darkness would take hold. But the gospel tells us that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. These are the words that enabled Stephen to follow Jesus' example. Even as the stones fell upon him, he did not curse his executioners, but instead offered a prayer of forgiveness. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Jesus is the way of life and forgiveness. He is the embodied truth that God did not send him into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. He gives us the life that overcomes the world. Come to him, writes St. Peter, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. Come to him and take refuge, for he is, as the psalmist says, our strong rock, a castle in which we find safety. Come to him. And once there, give yourself over to him. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. Into your hands, I commend my troubled heart. For these times, as always, are in your hands. Brothers and sisters, this is a strange, yet spiritually rich time, unsettled though it may be. It invites us to enter periods of deep contemplation, prayer, and transformation. A worldwide orientation, reorientation, and recalibration is going on. Perhaps something new and good and wonderful is preparing to be born in our world. Do not let your hearts be troubled, Jesus says. Believe in God. Believe also in me. The divine love expressed in Jesus Christ knows our sorrows and our troubles and is profoundly present during these hurting times. I read a story this week that brought this truth home to me. The people of Ireland have raised thousands of dollars to help the Navajo and Hopi nations that are being ravaged by the coronavirus. It turns out that 170 years ago, the Choctaw Nation sent nearly $200, a fortune in that time, to help feed the Irish who were starving during the potato famine. The favor, never forgotten, was being returned. In this, and in so many other gestures, large and small, I see evidence of the divine love of the compassionate mother of creation who carries us all in her arms. Now and forever. Amen.